Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, coming to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have a great show for you tonight. And just wanted to let you know that we've got some things happening at the International Black Summit, upcoming events. So we'll start off the show a little differently tonight. But I actually want to start off with what the inquiry is. So every year we actually look at what is something to distinguish for ourselves. And this year the inquiry that we're in is, what is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? It really is a combination, it's a conversation. What is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? Let's get started with the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, within. April 29th, 2012. Moment of silence, please. Thank you. There's Jerry on the call.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the call, brother. How are you doing tonight?
Peace. I'm good. How you feel?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And we have a call at 312-203. I believe this is Henrietta. It's a different number. Is that you, Henrietta?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
How are you all tonight? Thank you.
Great, great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, I was reading the declaration. You know, it's so amazing. So tonight, I was present to end the murders of our men, women, and children. And Trayvon Martin, of course, came to mind for me. You know, it's like, and then, of course, I look at Sean Bell and look at Diablo.
Diablo.
Yeah, from I got shot for taking his wallet out. And, there's so many situations and things that we look at and we deal with and brought present to. So I was just in that conversation. So I'm actually going to give it over to you, Jerry, and want to hear about any updates on Mr. Zimmerman. I heard some things about his who's paying for his attorney and some other things like that, but I'll let you report. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, like I was talking about next week about the cases, about the evidence. Now, there's some things has popped up in a few days ago, and it goes like this. After the arrest of George Zimmerman, Special Prosecutor Angela Corey states that she has special evidence that promotes her charge, George Zimmerman, with the murder of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, but the prosecutor has remained mum on exactly what the boxes of evidence contains. Photos 2 months later, thousands come out from Trayvon's rally in L.A. The time will soon come when Corey is required by law to release the evidence, and it may quickly change the course of George Zimmerman murder trial. The Orlando Sentinel released an article today details how the mystery evidence that is to be released within the next few days will change the course of the trial. Video comment on Trayvon Martin. Justice has to be served. According to the article, the evidence released will fall into the categories crime scene evidence, witness statements, autopsy reports, and crime labs reports. That includes anything found in the scene where the two came into contact and the sidewalk where Zimmerman, a Stanford neighborhood watch volunteer, fairly shot an unarmed. They said black teenagers, but I'm going to say I'm putting in unarmed black brother, February 26. Local lawyers say some of the evidence they're most eager to see are photos or anything else that documents them in injury or their absence. Stanford police took photos of the defendant that night. They should be in the evidence soon to be released. A security camera video shot from long range at Stanford Police Headquarters shows Zimmerman with no obvious sign of injury. But when ABC News enhanced it appears to be a gash on the back of his head. Other important pieces of evidence in this category include a bullet case from the fatal shot and any markings from the grass or sidewalk that might be hint how violent the fight was and whom had the upper hand. And that, I can tell you that part, that is still pending. The most important witness of the case may be Zimmerman, according to prosecutor Bernie DiLarona. The defendant gave 5 statements to authorities. Police describes one as a rehashment. I want to know, said former Seminole County prosecutor Donna Garner, exactly what did he say. Of his statements have a lot of inconsistency in them, said Orlando criminal defense attorney David Foster. Then that could be problematic for the defense. And they also go to the autopsy of what was doing. They saying when Trayvon got shot in a single gunshot wound to the chest, the result of his autopsy reveal close how the gun was. We heard that. That's when I made a report about 2 weeks ago. Well, basically, it's still pending. And the Sanford Center, they had to turn over the evidence. They here for the 911 call that I was stated like a few weeks ago. Now we might get the truth, or they now the defense are trying to suppress it. So it remains to be seen. So that's the report of Trayvon Martin. So again, brothers and sisters in our community, let's keep up the fight. Let's not let up. Let's teach our kids about security, about survival, and understanding that there's a struggle out here, even sisters out here. You know, when you try to travel in bunches of even brothers too, and especially brothers, when you walk down the street, make sure your hands is out. And that's all I have, brother. Back at you, my brother.
Yeah, question for you. So it's the evidence is pointing to that there was a scuffle.
Yes.
Between the two of them. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Right. But see, this is the thing about what happened. the prosecutors want the tapes. They want the camera, the security camera that I was brought before, because they was holding it. So I said, when by looking at TV and by reading this, it's going to be at least about another week or so that we finally find out. But everything is really pointing to Joseph, and they're just trying to, you know, switch it up. You know how, you know how media is.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know what? Let me go ahead and make some of these announcements, and then I'd like to hear from Henrietta in terms of some of her trips and what she's found out as she's traveling, traversing all parts of the South in preparation of our upcoming annual event in Birmingham, Alabama, on the Bama. May 5th, we've got the Three Dreads and a Ballhead presents the Barbershop Conversation for the Men and a Woman's Prerequisite as well. So there are two prerequisites occurring this Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, in Ottawa, Canada. And it's going to be at the St. Paul University. So it's going to be pretty exciting. I know myself, Oren is going, Susan Shelton, Rosemary Blake, Charlie Cutton. So there's going to be quite a few folks traveling in for that. So that should be a humdinger. And then on May 19th, we've got a Chicago prerequisite. So that's going to be at TNT Food Service. And then there's also going to be another one. It's going to be a prerequisite in Huntsville, Alabama, May 19th. So May 19th, there's going to be two events going on, one in Chicago and one in Huntsville, Alabama. So stay tuned. Check out our website, www.blacksummit.org. We've got oodles and oodles of information about what's happening. And as I said, we are going to Birmingham, Alabama, the heart and soul of the civil rights movement. I think it's just apropos, given the fight that we're having to have President Obama be reelected. So, again, I'm speaking for myself. This is not the International Black Summit speaking. This is Glenn Greenwich speaking. And so I want to be clear that in my trip to Birmingham, I am looking at and dealing with and looking forward to all of the nuances of Birmingham and the civil rights movement, given that I grew up in the North and my experience of the South has been as a visitor has been quite interesting. So, you know, it's a different world down in the South, in the Deep South, and I can appreciate their world and what they've gone through and what they're still going through. Don't forget that we had a conversation about a year or two ago in December of an alleged suicide that looked and smelled like a lynching. That was 2011. 2011 or 2010? And the years are flying by. I can't even remember what year. I think it was December 2010. And we had the brother in Mississippi that was found hung to death. Still never know what really happened with that, but I wasn't there. I can't say. I have my suspicions. And that's just my opinion. Anyway, but we're gonna take a little lighter conversation to find out what's been happening with our wonderful traveler that has been, as I said, traversing the South in preparation and speaking with people and host team and, you know, host of other different kinds of things happening. So, without any further ado, if I can get your mic open up, Henrietta, I see your number is available. There you go, Henrietta.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you. I
okay, and we just noticed that her call got dropped. So we will wait for her to call back in. Meantime, how about those Knicks? Oh, wait a minute, they lost. I'm sorry. The NBA playoffs have started, for those of you who are out there interested. The hockey, now, some of you may not be following hockey, but hockey is very interesting. And the New York Rangers are still in it. The Boston Bruins have been defeated, unfortunately. The world champions from last year. It's tough to repeat in that particular venue. But hockey is heating up. Basketball is heating up. And, you know, for your sports fans, this is a good time. So, the International Black Summit. What are we about? What are we standing for? I'm going to say a little bit about the purpose as we wait for Henrietta to come back in. And hopefully she's realized that she's not on the air. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. What does that really mean? That means that we're here to provide you the space, the conversation, to really engage and take a look at what's happening in your community and what is it that you want to bring as we look at the inquiry for this year, the 2011-2012 inquiry. What is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? Sometimes you have to really look hard for that gift because it doesn't seem like there's a gift up in there. So, again, that is part of what's available, and we've got Miss Henrietta back on the line. Go ahead. We lost Jerry.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Glenn. Last week, a team Birmingham, which is really everybody in the summit, but this is a specific team that has taken on an initiative to bring people from the Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Kentucky area, Mississippi area, to bring them to the summit. And what we've been doing is going to certain cities in those states and holding summit shares. And those summit shares are like introductions to the summit. They answer questions for people who want to know just what is the International Black Summit. So a summit share is where you go or where one goes to get answers to that question and where they can ask questions and find out, you know, as much as they need to find out. Because what we've learned is there aren't a lot of people in those states that I named, with the exception of the state of Georgia. But in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, there are not a lot of participants. And usually when something is as wonderful as the International Black Summit, the only reason somebody would not participate in it is because they don't know about it. So we've been going to these areas and spreading the word. And you talk about a labor of love. We have met some of the most wonderful people everywhere we've gone. Our concentration in the month of March was the actual city of Birmingham. But then we we spread out to Huntsville, which is north of Birmingham and really close to the state of Tennessee. And we included Memphis and Nashville and on this last trip. And this last trip, which was a week ago, well, it ended a week ago, took us to parts of Huntsville that were just really, really wonderful. As I talked about last week when I was on the show, we were actually, I was actually in the house of the man that owned the house was the paper boy to George Washington Carver. And his daughter is a part of the International Black Summit. Her name is Keita Crump. And some of you know Jo Hampton. That Keita is Joe's wife. And there's just some really, really wonderful history in Huntsville, Alabama. Keita's father was a professor. He's transitioned. And but when he was here, he was a professor at Alabama A&M. And he did just, he has a legacy that's unbelievable about the people that he's helped and the things that he's done. And he is the one who used to deliver papers to George Washington Carver. His bachelor's and master's degree came from Tuskegee. And that's where he was raised. And, you know, he took a job with Alabama A&M, which is what put him in Huntsville. The land that their house is on, which is which I did the show from this, the neighbor next door. Last week I was at the neighbor's house doing the show. And all of these houses that professors live in or descendants of these professors is on a strip of land that's owned by Alabama A&M. And the reason it's owned by Alabama A&M is because at the time this land was purchased, it is said that they would not allow black people to purchase land or real estate. So they had the school purchased it, and they were able to build their homes on the land that was owned by the school. It was, you know, it's really something to hear those kinds of stories and to actually, you know, like look around and see that because of the law, there are certain things that are still, you know, that still exist. We had an opportunity also when we were in Huntsville to go to the cemetery. It's called the Slave Cemetery. And it's a cemetery where they buried the slaves. And Oakwood College, which is another HBCU, purchased the cemetery and has made it like, you know, a monument so that people can come and see it. But there's a section that is utilized by Oakwood College now, and there's also a section of the cemetery where the slaves were buried. And it's really interesting because we have a photo, and hopefully we'll get those photos up on our website, blacksummer.org, so you can actually see the representation of the monument they've put for the slaves. And then they have a second monument that they've put in honor of the slaves. And then if you're standing, like, right in front of the first monument, you can actually see the work that was done by the slaves and what it has allowed Huntsville to grow into. You know, Huntsville is noted for their space and rocket center. A lot of the work that NASA does, they do it in Huntsville. And a lot of the spaceships or rockets or whatever are housed in the Space and Rocket Museum there. And there's a big arsenal, it's called the Redstone Arsenal, that's in Huntsville also. So when you're standing in the slave cemetery and you look at one monument and you look at the other monument, if you look like straight up, you will see a rocket. So it kind of is representative of the work, like how far this nation has gone through the work of the slaves, you know. And it was really an interesting experience. We were welcomed our first night by the Baha'i Center, which is a religious center, the Baha'i. Everybody might not be familiar with the Baha'i faith, but it is a faith that believes that all people are one. So it is admitting, they have actually seven temples in the world. They have seven Baha'i temples. They have centers in different areas, and we were at one of the centers. But the temples, there's one temple on every planet. And the one temple that's on in North America is to be right outside of Chicago, about 30-40 miles outside of Chicago, in a city named Wilmette. And that happened to be a city where my mother worked for 39 years, so I was very familiar with the temple because it's something that when you see it, it's just unbelievably huge. And the Baha'i faith and the center in Huntsville actually held a summit for us. They hosted it for us, so they allowed us to come into their space and hold a summit share. And in that summit share were people of not just Black African descent, people of some other nationality. And we did something that was wonderful. We sat down and we had a conversation about racism. And it was the most interesting conversation I think I have ever had with a group of people sharing about racism and looking at it. We got to listen it from their side, and they got to listen it from ours. It was just wonderful. So I'm going to pause here to see if anybody has any questions and to do a kind of a station identification moment. Glenn?
This is an International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you live every Sunday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our call-in number is 646-716-9827. If you're in the chat room and you'd like to get in and ask a question or make a comment, please do so. We've got some open lines available. We've got some folks out there who are listening, and if you'd like to engage us or question or inquiry or comment, press 1 and we'll recognize you and bring you into the call. And right now we are good.
Okay. Great. Jerry, I cannot tell you what that conversation was like. We had a person who, you know what summer shares are like, where people, you know, we start off with people saying a little bit about themselves, and we were well into a conversation. At the time, we were joined by the people of the Baha'i faith, and we were talking to a sister who had retired from Alabama A&M, who was sharing some of her experiences, coming up in the South and what it was like. You know, the Birmingham summit is going to be just life-changing. And I say that because the people in the South have a different experience of life than the people in the North. And as we shared, you know, as we share things that were just, we just take for granted, they had to really work hard to be able to do things and get things that we could just get with no problem. You know, I've never had to stand in a line and wait to use a bathroom because I was black. You know, I've never had to, you know, I've never had that experience. I've never, you know, when I want to go drink some water, I will drink some water. That's the way it's been for me all of my life. I've never been thirsty and not been able to drink out of a water fountain because I was black. You know, I can tell you some stories about being black and living in Chicago, but I can't tell you those kinds of stories. You know, I can tell you about working in offices and my white counterpart making $10,000 more than I was making when we were doing the same job. You know, I can tell you stories like that. But, and that wasn't fun either, you know. But there's, I think this summit is going to, this Birmingham summit is going to be something where we really get clear about the North and the South, you know, and our similarities, you know, and the struggles and the challenges that we've been through and how we will bring it all together. I'm so looking forward to this summit because of all the things that keep unfolding as we go through these cities and find out, you know, like what's really going on in the cities. You know, we spoke, we had summer shares at the campus of Alabama A&M. We had summer shares at Afrocentric bookstores outside, you know, right off the campus of Alabama A&M. And the people are so looking forward to being with people from all over the world and sharing, you know, the kinds of things that they are looking forward to. After the first night, and we had a summer share at the Baha'i Center, the next night we had a summer share at Alabama A&M University, and we spoke then to some professors, and then the next day we met with some of the professors and shared our vision with them, and they shared their visions with us, their vision for the students of Alabama A&M. And we've been invited back to do a summer share with the international students. And so we're looking forward to doing that in May. On Friday, we had another summer share with the people of a book club. There was a book club. The bookstore has a book club, and they invited us to come in and do a summer share with the book club. And that was really wonderful. You know, people are really excited about it. And, you know, I want to acknowledge the people who do our website because we were, you know, we were able to refer people right to the website with all the information. So to our media team and our webmasters, I'd like to acknowledge them because that so supported us in what we were doing. On Saturday, we were the special guest of a lady named Helen, and we're going to have Helen on the show soon as her schedule opens up. We were invited to what is called a house concert, and you know, if you say that in Chicago, that it's a house concert, you know, it's about house music, okay? It's about house music, but in Huntsville, and this was a concert that was held in someone's home. And we were entertained by these two musicians called the Moaning Sons, and one is African-American and one is not African-American. And you talk about some wonderful music. Oh my God, wonderful music! And they, you know, you'll hear more from them because I'll, they'll be on the show also. and they have wonderful music out, and it's positive and it's uplifting, and they've taken songs like We Shall Overcome, and they do it in two-part harmony, and it has a, you know, it kind of has a country western kind of feel to it. But I won't, you know, I'm not doing it any justice, but we'll have them on the show so that, you know, every the listeners can hear it for themselves. But that was Saturday night, and then Sunday was really a rest day, and we kind of drove up to the mountains that are east of Huntsville and had brunch there. And it was really a beautiful, just a really beautiful ride. And then we, you know, came back and did the show, which everybody heard last week. Monday we hit it. We had meetings all day Monday with people from Birmingham. And we were setting up our next prerequisite and our next summit share in Birmingham. And we talked to a lot of officials there who are really looking forward to our coming, to the International Black Summit coming to Birmingham. And so we left Huntsville on Monday, a week later after we arrived, and we headed to Memphis. And we had two summit shares there. One was for people who were interested in bringing youth to the summit. And, we, you know, we do have a youth summit just for everybody's information. And if you are interested in bringing groups of youth or just bringing your youth to the summit, please let us know. And there are youth prerequisites available and youth summit shares. So, but you just have to let us know, and you can either call us on the show, 646-716-9827, or you can send us an email, go to blacksummit.org and send us a message. You can send a message to the talk show team or to the prerequisite team via the website. And the second summit share we had was for, you know, people who were interested. And that was really nice. And it was held at Sister Reach. And everybody knows about Sister Reach. That was Sharice Scott who hosted us. And Sharice was on the show a couple of weeks ago, who has a nonprofit organization that supports women. And that was really, really nice. Actually, a woman walked into that second summit share that I sang within the choir here in Chicago, and I hadn't seen her in 4 years. And she moved to Memphis, and she was a guest at the summit share. So that was a really nice place. And there was a couple who had been married for 57 years who attended that summit share. You know, just a really great group of people that were there. And so we left, we stayed in Memphis overnight, and we headed to Nashville the next day. And we set up shares and things for May, for the month of May in Nashville. And then I came home after that, and it was really interesting, because when I came home, I was home overnight, and then I had to go to a conference. And this was the International New Thought Alliance Conference, which was just magnificent. Just the Unity Churches, Spiritual Living Centers, which formerly are known as, the Spiritual Living Centers used to be Churches of Religious Science. Unity, Universal Foundation for Better Living, and the Power Circle Congregation. Those four New Thought organizations, along with the people who founded the International New Thought Alliance, had a conference right here in Chicago for 4 days, which was wonderful, because in the conference it talked about caring for people and board of directors and teaching and, you know, everything that the summit is about. So it's like that our summer conversation is just continuing everywhere we go. On Friday, we got on a bus, a tour bus, and we went to the Hindu Center, which is in Lamont, Illinois, which when you go to that center, it is like when the bus turned onto the property, it was like we had just flown to the country of India. And I can't wait for you all to come back to Chicago so I can take you there to see this. When we stayed there for about an hour and a half and learned all about the Hindu culture and how close it is to our distinctions that we have in the summit, you know, and the know out there, the trigger, they have all of those principles that they believe in also. Then we left the Hindu center and we went to the Baha'i temple, the one I mentioned earlier. And the Baha'i temple was celebrating its centennial. So there were people there from all over the world, and we got a chance to meditate in the Baha'i temple. We left there, and we went to the Buddhist temple here in Chicago, and we spent some time there and learned all about that culture and that religion. And then the next day, which was Saturday, yesterday, I represented my church with other people on a panel about music and music in the church, and it was wonderful. You know, people Cheryl Murphy and Maggie. Megan, who's from the Unity Churches, and Cheryl Murphy is from the Power Circle Congregation, and Sue Conway, who's just a great, great singer here in Chicagoland, has been around for a long time, and Mikhail D. I can't pronounce his name, but Mikhail D. Lacerno, that's how you pronounce it, D. Lacerno, a wonderful musician here for the Spiritual Living Center represented Christ Universal Temple. And we talked about New Thought music and music that supports our vision and music that's positive and music that's uplifting and music that will allow our children to expand their vision rather than to shut them down because of the lyrics and how we would get lyrics to support our vision and move us forward. It was just wonderful. And that was it. So that brings us up to today. And if there are any questions or comments, I'll be glad to take them.
So you've been moving. I actually want to go back to the South conversation because I had an experience of the South in 1985. And I was actually there for my wedding in 85. And so I hadn't really been down there much. And this was my first really introduction to the South.
Okay.
And one of the things that struck me was the whole conversation of across the tracks. You know, because I was in one section of town, and then I just kind of like, you know, flashed, and I was in a totally another section of town, and then when I went back to track, I said, well, what happened? What we had done is we had crossed the tracks.
Yeah.
The railroad tracks. And it was a different world because we were going downtown to the county clerk's office to get our marriage license. And it was very eerie. Now this is 1985, and My ex-wife was very clear about not traveling after dark. And I says, but this is 1985. What could possibly, she says, we do not travel after dark. So we get to wherever we're getting to before dark. And we may, now if we want to leave out early in the morning, maybe 4 or 5 just before sunup, that's fine. But other than that, you don't travel at night. I just, you know, so, you know, I'm from the north, and you know, New York, what are you talking about not traveling at night? And then she said something else that shocked me. She says, in the south, we don't keep our blinds open. At night, you make sure that those blinds, you got the thick, heavy blinds, and they are drawn. Of course, you know, I had to think about it. It took me about 2 seconds to figure out what that one was about. But it was just a different way of living that I wasn't experienced, that I didn't, you know, that I didn't know about. And, you know, I had done some world traveling, but I certainly hadn't been to Africa yet. And, you know, been to South America and some Caribbean and parts of Europe. Greece, I've been to Greece and Canary Islands and such. And but it was just the notion of, but this is 1985. And I got real clear, this is a different time zone being in the South. You know, and, you know, everybody jokes around, well, everybody moves slow because it's so hot and all that kind of stuff, and ha, 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 ha. But it was more than that. It was much, much, much more than that. And this was in Biloxi, Mississippi. And you saw the poverty, and you saw the, you know, all of the different things that were different about the South that you didn't see in the North. And you actually still had some places that you could see the sign had been taken down, but it was at one point, you know, for colors or for whites only, and so on and so forth. And it was actually a little scary for me, because you almost forget that people lived a particular way, and that people are actually still living a particular way. You know, so that was the scary thing. The other thing I wanted to mention, and it's so important with our young people. Spike Lee uses it all the time. As a matter of fact, it's one of the logos, not logos, but sayings that he says is 40 acres and a mule. And I had a youth leadership academy meeting yesterday with some young people, some teenagers, and I asked them, do you guys know what 40 acres and a mule is, you know, about sharecroppers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they really, our young people don't know. They don't know what it was like in the South, especially after slavery. Even though the slaves were free, there wasn't a whole lot of work. And that whole sharecropper mentality is still there. And you know, now that I've traveled South Africa, you know, in a different conversation, a different continent, in a different part of the world, you know, see that those conversations are threads of the same conversation.
And right.
So it's not just a, you know, north-south conversation, but it's a worldwide conversation when we look at it, and when we look at the ways of being that we are, and the possibility. And, you know, and that we as black folk in America have opportunities of any black folks on the planet. So, you know, it's still, it's amazing to think about it and to think as fast as possible, and that you know, not that much has changed. So I'm really looking forward to going to Birmingham for a summit there. I'm looking forward to the people that we're going to be interacting with and to share their experiences of what it's like to be from the South. You know, I mean, we've been to New Orleans, as they say, and we've been to some of the other places, but, you know, we haven't been to the Alabamas and Mississippis of the world, and it's a different accent there.
Yeah, it's different. But how I see what will make the shift occur, and it's not that there hasn't been progress, because there has, you know, there has been much progress even since I was there, and I was there around the same time you're talking about. I was in Huntsville in 81, up in Birmingham, you know, 82, 83, 84, like that. But
okay.
And there is a lot of progress that's been made in certain terms. But it's just like anywhere else, you know, there's a lot of things that have not. Like here in Chicago, we've made a lot of progress, and we haven't. You know, like in certain, it depends on what we're talking about. You know, as mm-hmm. individuals, I think everybody has progressed as individuals. But then there's that other piece of it that we're looking at. Can we do more? You know, can we do more? I think the election is real important this year, the presidential election. I think when we come together in Birmingham, the questions and the things that we look at about ourselves are going to be very important, because we'll be sharing with people of different experiences as we do every year. But I think because it's in Birmingham, which is like the heart, or Alabama, I should say, which is where the civil rights movement began, you know, that there's a lot to be said for that. You know, there's a lot to share about that. I think the people in those areas have a lot to share, and the people who are coming from all the other areas, you know, have just as much to share. But we'll get a chance, we'll have an opportunity to go to the Civil Rights Museum in Birmingham. It's an experience in itself, you know. We're looking to go to a lot of things, but what will make it just more and more wonderful is that our listeners attend the International Black Summit. You know, if you have relatives or friends in the South that you want us to contact, to have summer shares in those areas, a summer share can be in someone's home. You know, it could be at lunchtime during, you know, lunch. It can be created however you want it. But for those people who have relatives in Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and any other state for that matter, it could be California, it could be Utah, wherever, we will, you know, we can have prerequisites and we can have summer shares there. So just contact us and let us know, because we really want to be with what is and get and find out what's available and find out what the gifts by our being with what is in the state of Alabama this year, and see what question comes out of that we'll be working with the following, you know, 12 months. So, you know, join us in Birmingham this year. Glenn?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited at Birmingham. I'm excited at the opportunities. I'm excited at the things that we're doing collectively and also individually. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in our communities. And we have some economic development challenges. We have some personal political challenges. We have some business, some wealth building challenges, and some ownership of our community in terms of owning the property and being property owners.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things out there that for us to really to look at and to move forward. And you know, one of the conversations is to be the leader in your life. So we invite our listeners, and I take that on for myself. You know, I have to look and see, am I being the leader in my life? And
okay.
The areas that I'm in leadership, and there are other areas that I'm being led. So how, you know, who do I need to be to shift that so that I'm leading, you know, all aspects of my life and not just some, you know? And so we invite you to look at the work that we do as you engage in your personal life, your relationships, your family relationships, your work relationships, your business relationships, your social relationships. You know, if you want to make a difference and want to have something get altered and be altered, then the conversation is happening at the annual event and as well as the summit shares and the prerequisite conversations that are happening around the planet. So please come listen. Visit our website, www.blacksummit.org. Register yourself. And get inside some of the conversations that are going on and engage in whatever is of interest for you. Back to you, Henrietta. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Well, thanks, Glenn. And, Jerry, thanks for the update on Trayvon. And we want to keep the conversations going. You know, we want to keep the conversations going out. The election this year, the presidential election, the conversations allow us to clear ourselves so that we can go to the voters' booth and make the right decision, you know, but we have to clear ourselves in order to do that. That's one of the distinctions of the International Black Summit. That's another reason I think this Birmingham is, you know, just so important, attending this Birmingham annual event. It's because, you know, we want to be really clear when we go and vote, and we want to be clear enough to go and vote, you know, as a people. And there's a whole lot of other community stuff going on, you know. So thank you very much. If there are any, like I said, questions or comments, we're putting on the website. Check our website regularly for the prerequisites and for the summit shares in your area. And if you want one in your area, just let us know.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Henrietta. Don't forget, we've got two prerequisites, one for the men and one for the women, simultaneously happening in Ottawa, Canada, this Saturday, May 5th. So if you're listening from Canada, please come join us. If you're in Toronto, Ottawa's not that far away. Come take a ride in our direction, and love to have you participate. I think it's going to be very interesting. This is the first time that we've had all women and all male prerequisite courses, so there's going to be some different distinctions occurring inside of that conversation as well. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We thank you for participating with us. These shows are recorded, so you're able to listen to them at a later date. You should certainly invite your friends, send them out. We invite you to do that, to spread the word. We love you. Good night. God bless. Safe travels. Some blessings.
Good night.